My guest at this time is James Robbins. He's a senior editorial writer for the Washington Times, and he's a former special assistant to former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. In his most recent piece for the Washington Times editorial page, Jim has taken a close look at what the president's recommended defense spending cuts could mean for the U.S. Navy in particular. And Jim, it's always good to have you with us.
Thanks, Greg.
Well, the president articulated a little bit about what he wants to see in terms of shifting our emphasis to the Pacific Rim and so forth. But one of the things that jumped out at you was his desire to not only not build additional aircraft carriers, but actually reduce our number from 11 to 9. How big of a difference would that reduction make?
Well, it would make a very big difference because, as you probably know, the carrier fleet is not all out at the same time. I mean, we maintain 11 carriers so that we can basically have three on station around the world, and then the rest of them are in various stages of being maintained or retrofitted or recovering or coming back to port. So if you go from 11 carriers down to 9, you're placing greater strains on the fleet itself. You can still maintain three out there in various parts of the world and also ramp up to more if you have a crisis, but it just makes it that much harder to have the same kind of commitments that we wanted to have. And furthermore, if the president is saying that we're going to refocus our attention on the Pacific, well, the Pacific is a big ocean. I mean, you know, it's a big area for naval activity, and it's really the wrong time to start talking about reducing the number of capital ships.
Is he advocating a compensation plan? Is he trying to beef up somewhere else as he's reducing the naval capacity?
Well, it's hard to say because right now this is all very preliminary talk that's going on behind the scenes. The Washington Times had a report on this by Rowan Scarborough on Monday. And it's hard to see if it's really solidified yet that this is what they're going to do. But people who talk about cutting back on the carrier fleet, they talk about like having more other types of platforms out there, or more things like drones or smaller ships or other ways to make up for this. But the fact is, we don't really have those things ready right now. And other countries, for example, China, are starting to build up their carrier capacity. So it's kind of a bad time for the U.S. to be looking to other types of ships when a country like China that seems to be more expansionistic these days is looking at carriers as kind of their force of the future.
Jim, that leads right into another point that you made in your piece today, and that's that there's this argument out there that perhaps aircraft carriers in particular and even a lot of the different naval operations in general are part of a bygone era. And you point out in your piece that folks were saying that as early as World War II, that by the end of World War II, that the Navy wouldn't need aircraft carriers anymore. Clearly, that hasn't been the case. So in addition to the fact that China clearly sees some value in that, what is the strongest argument for maintaining that type of presence out there?
I think that the critics of maintaining what in parlance they call the blue water capability, you know, things like large capital ships, are kind of spoiled by our success, because since World War II, the U.S. hasn't really faced a serious challenge on the high seas. I mean, the Soviets to a certain extent, but not really. So it's easy to say, well, we should downgrade this capability because we don't really need it. But the fact is, when you have other countries looking to build up that capacity, if they're building it up and we're building it down, pretty soon you're going to be at a point where you really do need it and where you have peer competition. And that's a lot worse situation than what we currently have, which is dominance. I mean, you know, you can argue about how much dominance you need, but the fact is, at a certain point, you cross a line. And do we really want to get that close to the line where we have to start thinking about it?
Jim, if we go too small in terms of our fleet, obviously it's going to take a while to build it back up. So how potentially vulnerable could we be?
Well, it really depends. I think it gets down to a case not of open warfare, but just influence in various parts of the world. There may be crises that we can't respond to. There may be confrontations where we really don't have the force available to credibly back up our deterrent. It would be more things like that. If it did come to a shooting war, then, I mean, all bets are off, because people say that if it involved nuclear weapons or advanced anti-ship missiles or submarines, that all of our carriers would be sunk. I don't think that's true, but, you know, there are various scenarios. really what we're talking about is, can the United States maintain its influence, its deterrent capability, and its prestige all the way across the Pacific and in other parts of the world without these large capital ships? And I just don't think it's possible.
Jim, last question here before we let you go. Obviously, with what the president's recommended, there's a lot of different areas that national security supporters will be targeting. How high on their list of things to protect should the Navy and the carrier fleet be?
Well, you know, in Washington, when you get in these budget debates, it's kind of a zero-sum question. If you build a carrier or maintain the fleet, then what are you sacrificing? Maybe the other services will have their priorities or things that they want to look at. So it's going to be a complex debate. But at the end of the day, there is a congressional mandate for 11 carriers. So if the administration wants to draw down to something like 9 or 10, they're going to have to get the Congress to agree to it, and I just don't see that happening.
One argument could be, I guess, that they're only about 3 away from commissioning the USS Barack Obama, so maybe that would be the argument to keep them in it. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Greg.
Jim Robbins is a editorial writer, senior editorial writer, in fact, for the Washington Times, and he is also a former special assistant to then-Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.